And now this special report from our own Christine James. Her hands were gone and her head nearly severed off. Long, matted red hair and pink toenail polish just hinted at who she was the day her remains were found in the Provincetown Dunes. 45 years later, and investigators still don't know her name. Christine James takes another look at the lady in the dunes.
We know how she died and where she was found, but we still don't know who she was or how she lived. 45 years later, and the identity of the lady in the dunes is still a mystery.
It was a very warm July. We got a call from the National Seashore, I think Ranger Hankins. A young lady walking her beagle found the mutilated body. And we get there afternoon, and it was hot, and it was July, and came across the scene and then started to do what became a 10 or 15 year investigation.
Jim Meads, who died in 2011, was the Provincetown police chief at the time on that 26th day of July in 1974. But it was Park Ranger Jim Hankins who was the first official on the scene.
Do you remember what your first reaction was?
Oh my gosh. What do we have here?
Hankins says that day has stayed with him his entire life for a number of reasons, not just seeing her remains, but something else strange and unusual. Big pictures drawn in the sand, several of them near the body.
I'm just thinking if you drew triangles or circles or things like that, just figures. Mm-hmm. Just figures. Four or five at the most.
Wasn't that something that you had mentioned to the investigators to say you should see if there's a connection? And do you know if they followed up on it?
I have no idea whether they did or not. My suspicion is they didn't.
Hankins was also at her autopsy.
Oh, said that her contents of her stomach indicated that she had had a meal of, recent meal of hamburger and french fries.
So probably at one of the local restaurants?
Probably.
Don't you find that strange that nobody, with all these places they reportedly canvassed, that nobody remembers seeing a woman like this?
It's very unusual. I would have thought so. Because the woman, if you see her pictures, she was probably outstanding, at least enough to make you notice her more than once.
Something else that troubled Hankins, he had kept a complete log of all the vehicular traffic that entered the National Seashore area that summer, including the time surrounding the death of the lady in the dunes.
It makes you wonder how serious that the investigators were about actually checking those records. You wonder if they even did.
No, as far as I know, they never did. As a matter of fact, they probably never even asked about them. They certainly knew that that was going on all the time. Mm-hmm. If they were interested, they should have known that that kind of information was being collected. If they ever inquired about it, it's not to my knowledge.
How did those files end up in your office?
Before I left the seashore, they had been sent up to Wellfleet, which was the headquarters, and they were back in a little storage area in the second story, and on the second floor. And I looked in there and I said, oh my, here they are. I think I'll take out the ones that were during that period of time and just keep them, just in case that something might happen down the road years later. And sure enough, I did, and I still have them.
Hankins did allow me to see his handwritten and very complete records, which included the names of the drivers, their hometown, vehicle description, and plates. He also said when he took the files, they appeared to be headed for the trash. Another person who did not wish to be identified said that there had been several people hanging around the Provincetown dune shacks at that time. One in particular, a townie with a thing for redheads and who'd had some run-ins with the law, who was never questioned in connection with the murder. But Chief Meads was convinced the killer was not a local.
Well, I knew it wasn't a local because if a local had done it, there's many more places that you would bury a body as opposed to leave it in the dunes to be, you know, seen. It had to be a stranger, and it had to be with a beach wagon to get where they went, because you just wouldn't walk a young lady through the dunes with a machete or with a blunt object to cut her hands off. So I theorized that they went there, and once she was sound asleep, that's when he took the brutal blow to the head.
The Lady in the Dunes' extensive, expensive dental work, described as New York style in the original forensic dental report, was the most important piece of evidence that they had to go on in those pre-DNA days. Dr. John Giordano, a forensically trained dentist, looked at that original report and chart.
There are many, many, many things that are very unique with this person. This person wasn't a 19-year-old that had three fillings and then, you know, passed away. This is someone who has had access to care based on, you know, I never saw the photos and things, but if she had a beautiful smile, then someone took some time.
With the advent of DNA as a forensic tool in the 90s, the investigation took another path, and after three exhumations of the body, modern-day DNA techniques have ruled out other missing women as the Lady in the Dunes, including one of the most notorious, Rory Jean Kessinger, arrested in a Pembroke drug raid in 1973, escaping from the Plymouth House of Correction a short time later and never seen or heard from again. Retired State Police Detective Lieutenant Rick Nagel looked at this case a number of years ago, and he thinks with the advent of forensic genealogy that eventually we will know who she is.
Happened in Lake Tahoe. They have a lady by a hiking trail, dead. We have a lady in the dunes, dead. She has no identification on her. The only difference is the manner of death. She was shot in the head, and he covered the head with a male underwear. No identification, they can't identify her. Again, what do you do? The next step, just like the Lady in the Dunes, you put the DNA in CODIS. They did it. No hit. That means that this lady was never involved with anything. Okay. What do they do next? They do facial reconstruction, just like the Lady in the Dunes. This is what she would look like. What happened when they disseminated that? Nothing. What do they do next? Just like the Lady in the Dunes. They do forensic odontology. And what they said was, it looks like European-style dental work. What did the Lady in Dunes say? New York style. And what did I say to you? Don't go there. Just, you keep your path wide open. Don't get fixated on European. Don't get fixated on New York-style dentistry. So that's what they had. Nothing. Now we get involved recently with what? Forensic genealogy.
Forensic genealogy helps put together a DNA family tree to identify unknown family members.
So this lady in Lake Tahoe, boom, they get a hit. With a distant relative. So they query them, they talk to them. As a result, it leads to this lady named Mary Silvani, who's not in Europe, over there with the dental work, and this is why I told you, be careful.
Right.
She's from Pontiac, Michigan. So they identified her, and they also had, in this case, in Lake Tahoe, they had also other DNA. And again, they did the exact same thing through lineage, found out who the suspect was, and he admitted to the killing.
Various theories over the years, including a Whitey Bulger connection and the possibility that she was an extra in the movie Jaws, put forth by author Joe Hill, haven't panned out either. Cape and Islands District Attorney Michael O'Keefe.
Given the age of the Lady in the Dunes case, we're still going to pursue it and do everything that we can to identify her. But beyond that, the likelihood of being able to actually do anything from a law enforcement perspective is remote.
Sandra Lee, who says she was one of the people who found the body near the campground where she had been staying with her family, an abusive stepfather, has a unique perspective on the discovery.
This woman, whose life was sacrificed, could quite possibly have saved mine. I just feel like I was drawn away from the situation. I can't explain why on that particular morning I decided, when I heard him coming back into the campsite, I'm out of here.
And Ranger Jim Hankins says he's still waiting for answers.
I would like to see it solved while I'm still alive, just to know what it was, who she was, and the circumstances surrounding her demise, and why it's been covered up for so long, and why she has been so difficult to identify. It's puzzling.
My body buried in the old churchyard.
I drove down to Provincetown on the 45th anniversary of her discovery in the dunes of Provincetown to see who might care enough to visit her grave.
No one is here today on this 45th anniversary of the Lady in the Dunes. It's quiet. There's no one else in the cemetery with me. Just some birds, occasional passing of cars. No other mourners for any of the people who've been laid to rest here. She's not forgotten by so many people. but it looks like today that no one else is here. In Provincetown, Christine James, WATD News.
This entire story will be available on the WATD website at 959WATD.com.